Okay. Broadly speaking, there's two types of preaching that I would tend to do. I love taking a Bible book and going through it step by step, verse by verse. That's expositional preaching and teaching. And I particularly like that because you can't duck and dive and avoid subjects that are important to God. It's very good to do that. The other type of preaching is topical preaching, where you would take a subject that is relevant and then you look at what the Bible says on it. And in a sense, today is a topical preaching subject. It's probably my last chance to preach before the summer months, so I thought I should use this opportunity and I should make the best of it. I will be sharing a little bit over the summer as well. Let me give you a couple of scriptures first of all. This is quite an important subject at many different levels. And I'm sad in a way that there's a lot of people not able to be here this morning for various reasons and very, very good reasons. But it will be on the internet. And so if anybody misses it, Billy, I couldn't ask you to be... Billy, excuse me.
Thank you.
If anyone's not here this morning, you can encourage them to list this. It will be on the internet eventually over the next 2 or 3 weeks, as will all the talks, actually. So let me give you the scriptures, first of all, before I reveal this important subject. Here's a few verses from the Song of Songs, chapter 4, 9 to 11. Unfortunately, I don't have my beautiful assistant isn't available today to put the scriptures up. From the Song of Songs, incidentally, the Song of Solomon, the rabbis used to say you have to be at least 30 years old before you read it. So if you're under 30 in here, you're very privileged. And the reason for that sort of tongue-in-cheek comment was it's to do with the relationship between a man and a woman. It's a very high view of the beauty of a relationship. And of course, it's a picture of Christ's love for his people, Christ's love for his church. And there's a few verses where Solomon describes the person he's absolutely over the moon with. And in a way, this is the Lord speaking. This is something that he finds incredibly attractive. And it says like this: "You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes." We've all been there. "With one jewel in your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice." And this is the verse especially: "Your lips drip nectar under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon." Your lips drip nectar, my bride. The Lord loves lips and a mouth and a tongue that's pure. It's incredibly attractive to him. And Romans 15, New Testament, verses 1 to 7, it says like this: "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. It is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached me, you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice," there's the mouth again, "one voice or one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." When you get married, everything you have belongs to the other person. Everything they have belongs to you. It's It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? You might say that when you get married, you sacrifice everything for that person. And they sacrifice everything for you. Is it really a sacrifice at all? Because not only do you give everything to that person, you receive everything back that they give to you. And when we come to Christ, Christ has given us absolutely everything. His blood, his promises, his life, his death, his resurrection. The blessings in Christ are incredible. He gives us everything. And the most appropriate thing is to give everything back to him. To be what the Bible calls a living sacrifice. But here's the title of my talk tonight. If you're only going to give one thing to Christ, I'm not asking for your money, not asking for your whole body, I'm not asking for your whole life, not asking for your mind. If there's only one thing you would dare to give to God, then give him one thing. Your mouth, your tongue, and your lips. If he's got your lips, he's got everything. There is something very significant about the mouth and the tongue and the lips spiritually. Words and speaking are very important, aren't they? James tells us, James 3, you can read it for yourself. James tells us that the tongue is a very small thing, but it can bless and it can curse. It can bring life, it can bring death. It can be set on fire by hell, or it can be an expression of wisdom from heaven. God wants our tongue. He wants our lips. He wants our mouths to speak with one accord the glory of God. If you're going to give God anything ever, give him your mouth. Some people used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Absolute nonsense. I would rather be hit over the head with a stick than to have someone growing up as a young child speaking a word of cursing or a word of destruction or a word that destroys me. There is something significant about words. God used words to create the universe. God used words as containers for the gospel. God's word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's something very significant about words. I've said this before, I said it again. Fasten your seatbelt. Put your crash helmet on. Can I give you some straight talking about the significance of our words and our tongue this morning? Would that be okay? And I'm asking you to put your helmet on and your seatbelt because I'm going to talk about some negative uses of the tongue that really we need to say goodbye to. We need to declare an amnesty. We need to declare a total cessation. That's it. I'm not going to use my lips, my tongue, or my mouth, any of those things ever again. This is not to condemn us. It's to set us free. It's to give us a clean sheet. It's to represent ourselves to the Lord, particularly our mouth. But then I want to say something equally, and maybe more so, about the positive power of the tongue that's submitted to God, the positive power of a voice, a whole people group speaking with one voice and one mouth the glories of God. Is it okay if I could be very, very candid, very direct on those two issues? Yeah, well, good. That's a relief. But to all those listening on the internet, I'm glad you're listening to this maybe a few weeks later because I had some of you in mind and you're not here this morning. I won't even be serious. And people listen to these talks, I think, in different places and even different parts of the world. So I want to use my words carefully this morning because I want to impact people, maybe who are not here as well. God help me with that. Let's start with the negative. Is that okay? Sometimes it's good to start with the negative so we finish on a high and on a positive. Let me give you something from 1 Peter chapter 2, 1-3. Remember the theme, we're talking about giving our lips, our tongue, and our mouth to God. And it says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander. You know, someone said like this, it's the bits of the Bible I do understand I find most difficult. It says, put away malice, negative speaking, that deceit, lies, pretense, hypocrisy, jealousy, envy, and all speaking negative of people when they're not there, especially slander, which is where you make it up or there's half-truths in it. Put it away. And then it says in verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you've tasted, how do you taste something? With what part of your body? The mouth. It says, if you've tasted that the Lord is good. And so it's almost like there seems to be a black and white, two sides of the coin. We're either using our mouth to engage in malice and slander and gossip and all those kind of negative things, or we're using our mouth like a newborn baby to earnestly desire the things of God, the milk of the word. Now, I asked a mother who had been breastfeeding, and I asked her this question. You see, when your child is breastfeeding and it's going for the milk, what happens? Is it sort of, oh, have a wee bit of milk, or lukewarm, or I'll maybe try this out? No, she says it was positively aggressive. And I said, good, I learnt right at medical school. Something that size, so small and so weak, but the sucking reflex is incredibly strong. And that's what God says. I don't want you to use your mouth for negative things. I want you to use your mouth for positive things. I want to be candid with us this morning. I want to say, Lord, deal with the negatives. I'm sure you know what gossip is. It's negative speaking about others when they're not there, even if it's true. Slander is negative speaking about others even when they're not there, but it's a lie or it's an exaggeration. Now, someone would say to me, are you aware of gossip in the church, Stephen? And I would have to say, no. Nobody gossips in front of me. So it's probably not happening. But people do not gossip in front of me. What about the angels? What about gossiping in front of the angels? What about gossiping before the Spirit of God? What about gossiping before weak believers who are modeling everything we say and do? I think, well, Lord, there's a healthy respect and honor that these things are more important than I ever thought possible. But I'm going to really rock your world right now, because I'm going to share why these things are much more dangerous than we ever thought possible. And I want to read something from Ephesians chapter 4. I love this verse. I love this passage. And it's verse 29 to 32. It says like this, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Don't let any words come out that aren't helpful, appropriate, measured, and upbuilding, and full of grace. And verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you have received for the day of redemption. See, some people think grieving the Holy Spirit is singing the wrong worship song. Oh, you missed the Spirit there. No, you know what grieving the Holy Spirit is? Careless speaking, inappropriate speaking, out of measure speaking, a lack of grace speaking, a lack of building up speaking. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. There's the negatives. And then the positive, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I said I would rock your world. Make the connections. A lot of people don't realize that what comes out of our mouth can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now that I know that, a light goes on. Negative words, not just about other people, but negative words about God, negative words about myself. Do you know that some people are speaking over their lives, things that are not appropriate, they're not true? But let's speak right words. Let's speak godly words. Let's speak true words. You know, it's a sad thing that sometimes our worst enemy is not somebody across the other side of the world. It's our own selves, our own flesh. And so make the connection. But here's another one. Keep your helmet on. You might actually need a straitjacket as well. Because these things give the devil power and opportunity in our lives and our loved ones. I remember I had to speak to, I've told this story before, it's worth telling again. I had to speak to a group of young people one time. And it's scary enough speaking on a Sunday morning, but speaking to a group of young people is even more scarier. And the subject I had to talk about is I had to talk about things like drunkenness, sexual immorality of every kind, all those kind of things. And I thought to myself, look, I can get up there and just tell people the truth, that these things are wrong. You know, what more do I need to say? But how do I touch the heart? How do I open eyes? How do I help people see why these things are wrong? And I had a picture, and it was like this. Who here in their right mind would say to the devil, devil, come and destroy my life, please? Come and destroy my children. Come and destroy my grandchildren. Come and destroy my community. When you give room, when I give room to regular drunkenness, to sexual immorality, to gossip and malice and slander, it's an open door for the enemy to come in and trash lives. Ah, today, let there be an amnesty. Let there be a clean start. Let something let's choose to give ourselves to the Lord afresh, but in particular, our lips and our tongue and our mouth. Sometimes our tongue needs healed. Sometimes our tongue needs cleansed. Sometimes our tongue needs delivered. Sometimes our tongue needs redeemed. I have good news for you. You are redeemed. You are no longer a slave. We are free. That this tongue that was used for the purposes of evil is now transformed into the kingdom of God and it's going to be used for the purposes of good. And I know people who, before they came to Christ, they were destroyers of men. They were liars. But now they're building up the body of Christ. God can transform lives. I remember a man whose hands, he held his hands out to me one day and he said, these hands have shed blood. And I said to him, when you get redeemed, you see those hands? They get transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and those same hands are going to build people up. They're going to touch people. They're going to help people. They're going to heal people. Is such a thing possible? Yes. That's the nature of the power of the gospel. And he can take a tongue that's destructive and make it creative. He can take a gossip and make them somebody who builds people up. And he can do it just like that, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the sort of church we need to be. Let's declare war on the things that displease the Lord, that grieve the Holy Spirit, and give the enemy opportunity. None of us in our right mind would say, Lord, trash my life. None of us would do it. We're conned. We're conned. And so, you know, still almost finished the negative. The devil is, here's another illustration or anecdote. The devil is a dirty fighter. Anybody discovered that? I mean, if it was sort of like 3 o'clock with the right kind of crowd, the home fans with me and his fans, and we're ready for it, we're training for it, I could give the devil a good licking. There you go. Comes in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, you're tired, you're weak, you're distracted, you're anxious, and then that's when he tempts us. And so he's a dirty fighter. And the Bible says don't give any opportunity to the devil. And that's why the tongue and the mouth is so key. And one of the ways the devil affects us is he uses questions. You remember in Genesis, the devil comes to Eve and says, has God really said? You see, if the devil asks you a question, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to get into debate and discussion with the devil. Now, if the devil appeared and asked me a question and he looked like the devil, I wouldn't answer it. But the world is full of people who are asking demonic questions that we don't have to answer. We don't have to enter into debate with the world and with the enemy. This mouth, this tongue, these lips belongs to God. I've got to take a step back. I'll answer the questions God is telling me to answer. I will not be hooked into questions that God is not asking me. I remember in 1990, this young woman came to our home in Manchester, and she was trying to sell us a Hoover. And she said, "And all I need is an hour with you guys, and there are two tickets for a weekend in a hotel if you just listen to me for an hour." And I said, "Okay, that sounds like a good deal. Listen to her for an hour." She demonstrated the Hoover, which was the best Hoover since sliced bread. And then at the end, she says, "Would you like to buy it?" The answer was no, but we'll have our free tickets for the holiday. The atmosphere changed. And then she asked me a question. And she said, "Do you not care about the hygiene in this house and how it will affect your children?" That's called manipulation. That's a hook. That's a bait. And I refuse to eat it. Yes, I do care for my children. It's not your business. And my care for my children doesn't depend on buying your Hoover. That's a lie. That's twisted logic. But the devil is a dirty fighter. He uses twisted logic. So let us be careful with our mouths and our tongues with these negative things. But I said I would end on a positive note. And here it is. The very same organ. When you search the Bible, you will discover that some of the greatest things are related to the mouth and to the tongue. Instead of putting people down, the same tongue can build people up. We can speak the truth in love. We can win souls. As I study the Bible, I suddenly discover there are so many powerful things are related to the mouth and to the tongue. And these things are God's spiritual bombs to damage the devil's kingdom. Let me tell you some of these mouth-orientated things. Prayer. The Bible says, when you pray, say. When you verbalize your prayer, when you make your requests known, when we pray for others, there is power released through the tongue. It's not enough to think prayers, or meditate prayers, or contemplate prayers. There's something significant about speaking prayers out loud. It is a key. It is important. Another one is praise. There is a battle for our tongues. Who will we worship? Who will we praise? Who will we speak well of? And there's something significant when a man, woman, or child, a family, a couple, a church community, with one heart, one voice, say, "We're going to praise God verbally, out loud, in singing, in thanksgiving, in praise, and we're going to speak out his name with one voice." I tell you this to people. If you give me an opportunity to lead a meeting or preach, I would say the preaching is far easier for me than leading a service. And you might say, "Well, why is that?" It says, "Well, see, when you lead a service and you get up at the start, you have to persuade people it's a good thing to praise the Lord. It's a good thing to engage. It's a good thing to share testimony. It's a good thing to pray out loud. It's a good thing to be thankful. It's like you have to persuade people." I just wish we could just be persuaded and settle it that these are significant things, to praise God, to thank God, and they're all mouth related. I believe, now I can't prove this, maybe you could help me with this, Tom, with your studies. I can't prove this, but there's a link in your brain with this part of the brain that controls your speaking and a lot of other things that go on in your temporal lobe. And sometimes the way to overcome a lot of those moods, a lot of those hormonal changes, a lot of those discouragements is to engage the mouth very deliberately and very intentionally and begin to speak. And there are two people knows that speaking is important. God knows and the devil knows. And sometimes it's not just about not saying the negative things, it's learning to speak the positive things. The things of praise, the things of thanksgiving, the things of prayer, and the proclamation even of the word of God. There is power in the proclamation of the word of God. And all of these things require the mouth. Prophecy is a mouth-oriented thing. And I'm not talking about, when I say prophecy, I'm not talking about flaky stuff and people maybe giving an hour's description of how they floated up to space and all this kind of nonsense. That does nothing for me. This is prophecy. I was praying for you. I think this scripture is relevant to you. Can I speak a word of encouragement to you? Can I speak a word of motivation to you? Can I speak something that will quicken something in you? I see something at work in you you don't realize is there, and I want to encourage you. There's angels all around you, Dot. You think you're on your own in this battle and fight. There's angels all around you. Be encouraged. That's prophecy. I was praying for you, and I felt I needed to say this to you. Or I have a testimony, and it's exactly what that person needs to hear. That's prophecy. Speaking forth Christ, speaking forth hope, speaking forth life. And it can be done in conversation. It can be done during the church service. It can be done at home. You can prophesy to your children, your grandchildren. Imagine the impact we say to our children, I've written down something for you. I want you to keep this. I've been praying for you. And you may not believe it now. You may not receive it now, but there it is. That's prophecy. Something inspired of the Holy Spirit that is spoken and declared. Oh, to be a man. Here's one of my longings in life. To be a man who speaks out of a oneness and closeness and intimacy with the Lord, that every word I speak is helpful. Even if it's a joke. Do you know that you can the right use of humor can really lighten people's load, lighten their day? And did you know there's a battle for humor? There's coarse jesting, which has the opposite effect, embarrasses people. So God has a sense of humor and the devil has a sense of humor. But there's a difference in their jokes. Isn't that right? So, yep, nearly finished. Sorry, this is so, I'm not really sorry, it's so serious. I remember a friend of mine years ago, he said this to me one day. He preached a lot, he's worked in Greece and Macedonia, and he said to me one day, do you ever think to yourself, all the preaching you do, does it really make any difference? And I got to thinking about that and said, you know, sometimes I honestly say to myself, I believe it is making a difference, but I sometimes don't know. And then I think, am I saying it with enough conviction? Am I saying it clearly enough? Am I saying it under the anointing? Because these things are incredibly, incredibly important, not just to me, not just to us, but to God. And I love illustrations. I love typology in the Old Testament. And this may not be your cup of tea. Sorry, we're back to Leviticus again. But there's a whole chapter in Leviticus. Now, I'm a medic, so I love this chapter. And it's about discharges. you have to be over 40 to read Leviticus, you know. And you have to be medically trained. I mean, there's a whole chapter devoted to bodily discharges. What on earth is that about? And this is about ceremonial cleanliness. You know, if you have a discharge from your skin or from some unmentionable part of your body, it will contaminate things and you have to have cleansing. And the question is God really bothered by those kind of things? Or is this a picture? Is this an illustration? Is this pointing to something of profound spiritual significance? I believe this is what it points to. Sometimes, in a good sense, you're so full of God, you're so full of Christ, you're so full of the Word of God, you're so full of appreciation to God, it just bursts out like an abscess and blesses people. You ever been like that? You've just got to share what you've received in God. It moves you to speak or to act in a certain way. Equally, sometimes there's a build-up of anger, frustration, negativity, criticism, panic, and it bursts out like an abscess, like a discharge. And do you know where it normally comes out of? Not your ear, not your nose, not the unmentionable, out of the mouth. I say, Lord, I want to be cleansed to the depths of my being, that what comes out is helpful, edifying, spiritual, in line with your word. Let's be filled with something good, because it's going to leak out. Whatever you're filled with will leak out. Very challenging, that, to me. Very challenging. The primary, most important thing in my life is going to leak out. I wonder, is it football? I wonder, is it an opinion about something? Or is it Christ? And I do believe there is an appeal here. It's not that we can't talk about other things other than the Lord, but let us be measured in all kinds of speaking. And let's make sure the primary thing comes out of something wholesome, something good. To be filled with Christ, to be filled with the word of Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, in order that what comes out of my life, what comes out of my mouth, will build up, will strengthen, will bring life. Now, that doesn't mean you don't speak the truth. It doesn't mean you don't correct people. But there's a way and there's a spirit in which we do it. And this is what I end with. The spirit in which we challenge one another and we encourage one another to be total when it comes to our mouth and our speaking. And I'll leave you with this. And then I need somebody else to close the meeting, really. This is Paul. This is Ephesians 4, which comes before all the stuff I read earlier. Do you remember? I grieve in the Holy Spirit. Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. And only what builds up, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God and Christ forgive you. Paul begins this chapter by saying this. And this is where I wish I was a better dramatist than I am. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Guys, I'm living in a second choice world right now. I may not make it. I might die. My future is uncertain. This is who's speaking to you, not some kind of guy sitting in an ivory tower pontificating. I'm a prisoner for the Lord. Remember that song about the cross and the prophecy about the cross? Because of the cross, because of Christ, because of the resurrection of Christ, I beg you. I beg you. Live like this. In case you didn't hear me, Paul, I urge you from the bottom of my heart. If this was the very last thing I ever going to say, I sometimes have this idea, you're only allowed to preach once more in Kingsway, what would you say? I treat every sermon like that, as if my latest is my last. And this is Paul. He says, I urge you, live in a manner worthy of the high calling. If you want to, you can give everything to the Lord, but if there's only one thing you're going to give to the Lord, give him. Let's give him our lips and our tongue. Let's not get condemned if we've been careless. Let's just say, right, got it. Let's move on. Let's move on from here. Thank you.